Blood and Barrels discuss cases that contain graphic content.
And Mike has a potty mouth.
So does Amy.
Nah.
Listener discretion is advised. What's going on, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Blood and Barrels. I'm Mike.
I'm Amy.
And we want to apologize. Last week, I think we did put out two episodes, but Amy had COVID, so...
Yes. Sure did.
It was a rough run, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
I don't know how you had it, and like I was in the room with you the whole time. I don't know how I didn't get it.
Don't either.
But like me and the youngest didn't get it, but you and the Floon totally got it. But he was... pretty okay. You got hit hard.
Yeah. Thanks, Floon.
Yeah. You're alive, though. You're back.
I don't know. I still feel like I got that tiredness. You know, I always heard that from other people the first go around.
Yeah.
That even like months after recovering, they would just be tired all the time.
Yep.
I didn't have that the first time. I feel like
You got it this time.
I got it this time. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I was sitting there going, I'm totally going to get it. I'm totally. And I didn't. I got lucky on that one. So we'll see.
Because the one you had was way easier than what I just went through.
Well, at least me not getting it made it to where I could like take care of you. So. And then we're not both just sitting there dying.
I was dying. I was like, oh, and it happened so fast.
Oh yeah. You got hit like
it was quick. Fast. Yeah.
Yeah. And you spiked like what, a day or two after Floon, right? Like it was pretty quick after.
Yeah. He tested positive on Thursday, and by Saturday at 5 o'clock, I was like, shit.
Yeah.
Because I worked all day Saturday, but it was right as I was logging off, all of a sudden, I knew. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
It got me.
Yeah. So sorry, everyone, but you got two episodes out of it last week, and then we owe Patreon big time, because then we put out another Patreon episode.
Yeah.
We got a few episodes coming for you guys.
But, we do. I've got, like we keep saying, I've got a bunch researched. We've just... you know, COVID.
COVID and work. And so we're working on it. We'll get there eventually. But speaking of Patreon, we do have to give a big shout out. We have a brand new Blood and Barrels family member. So big shout out to
you.
Katrina Wepler.
Yes. Welcome.
Yeah. So we're excited to have her as part of the Blood and Barrels family. And just so everybody knows, you can join us. We do have some extra episodes. We're working on getting more out there. But yeah, you can always join. We've got a $1 tier, $5 tier. I think there's a $10 tier. So, you know, however you want to, if you want to support the show and be a part of the family and get a few extra episodes, come
on.
Join us on Patreon. Yeah, we'd love to have you.
We'd love to have you.
But yeah, so thank you to Katrina. Glad to have you. So that being said, where are we going this week?
We are going to Wyoming.
Wyoming. Have we been to Wyoming?
We have not been to Wyoming.
New state. I like
New
it.
New state.
Nice.
We are going to Jackson Hole.
I've heard of it. I've heard of it, but I've never been to Wyoming, so.
We are going to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which is pretty close to the Grand Teton National Park.
I've heard it's really pretty up there. I've just, never been, so.
It is pretty. I don't know that I've ever been to Jackson Hole, but I have been to
Wyoming.
Yeah. And this week we're doing cider.
Cider, excellent. Yes.
It's been a minute since we've done a cider.
It has been a minute. Yeah, cool.
And I'm really excited about this cidery.
Well, tell me all about it.
So on their website it says, "Save bears, drink cider."
Hells yeah. I am a fan of bears. I do love some bears.
I'm pretty sure they know we got in an argument over spirit animals one time.
I forgot about that. Yeah, we absolutely did.
So the name of the cidery is Farmstead Cider, and it's handmade cider from Jackson Hole using local Wyoming and Rocky Mountain apples. And they actually started out with the mission to keep bears out of trouble. So like they were seeing that the bears were like going into the community and they were getting in like fights with dogs and people.
Really?
Yeah. So they started harvesting the apples, trying to keep the bears away from the populated areas of Jackson Hole, and then decided to turn it into a cidery.
So like the bears like the apples?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool. I didn't know bears had a thing for apples, so that's interesting.
Well, and apparently Wyoming has a lot of unique types of apples, and their soil is really good to grow the apples. So they're even like discovering 100-year-old varieties that have been like forgotten about.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. But I thought it was really cool that they went into this not with the intention of making a cidery. They were really just trying to save the bears. And then they were like, well, what the hell are we going to do with all these damn apples we just harvested?
Well, and it makes me wonder, like, do they go out there to pick apples and there just be random bears roaming around? And they're like, okay, we're going to wait like 20 minutes, let it move along, and then we'll come back and come get back those apples. You right? know?
I'm curious too, but they've, so yeah, I thought it was really cool. I'm
that is cool. Yeah. It. I dig it.
And we have three different types to try, and they've told us what order to try them in.
Perfect. So, perfect. Yeah. Awesome. Man, I want to see a bear. I like bears. So, okay, cool. Well, what are we starting with?
We are starting with the Teton Petnot.
Let's see. Yeah, we're going to go with that.
I think I did good on that pronunciation.
I feel like it's probably totally wrong, but we're going to go with it. So.
So it says, this traditionally fermented, bubbly, hard cider follows an old French style known as pétillant naturel. This old school method of cider making involves bottle conditioning the cider, creating a bright fizz and a hazy golden color. And they're wild fermented with no residual sugars or sulfites. And it's 7.5% ABV.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. And they actually come in like 750 milliliter bottles, which I think is kind of cool.
This one does. Yeah. I don't think all of them do.
Well, yeah, right. So it looks like they have kind of a variety of different bottles, but they're like corked, almost like they're like champagne, which is kind of cool. So awesome.
So let's try it out.
Let's do it.
Oh, you know what? I need to look and see if they're on Untappd.
Oh, yeah. You check that out while I'm doing this. I'm thinking there might be a pop on here, but I'm not entirely sure. Let's see. Gotta get the tab.
Haha. Got it. Farmstead cider.
Okay, no pop.
There's some fizzle.
I heard the fizzle. Oh. It definitely has some fizz to it. Yeah, it's going hard. I'm like trying to cork it. It's like, you can hear it. It's very angry with me right now. And I was trying to suck the foam off.
He did not do a very good job.
I did not. I think I choked myself.
He cut it all over the table and the floor.
The floor, yes.
Table?
The table's not in too bad a shape.
It's all on the table.
Okay, I think it's coming. Nope, it's not. Nope, it's angry. Oh, it tastes really good. You'll get to try it here in a second when it calms down. It's very angry with me,
though. I was about to say, how does it taste?
It tastes really good. The foam was delicious. Let me get a towel. We'll be right back. It's still going. All right. And we're back. Sorry about that, guys. Man, can you hear it? It's still going. It's real fizzy. So they were not lying about the bubbly. So let me get a couple glasses here. I think it just really wanted to go into a glass. Because now that I'm pouring it, it seems much happier. That's what I should have done. I should have just started pouring.
Well, now you know.
Yeah, now I know for the next bottle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's still going a little bit. I don't know if you can hear it, but it's still going a little bit. All right, cool. All right, I'm excited. It's actually really good. Okay, so cheers.
Cheers.
I mean, it has a super, super bright flavor. It's really, really good. I love this.
It is very good. It's not as sweet as I would have expected.
No, it's not. Like, it's almost fresh tasting. It has a very fresh, bright, crisp flavor to it. But yeah, you're right. It's not like super sweet, but it's not like tart either. It's very, very well balanced. I like that a lot.
All right. What would you give it? Because they are on Untappd.
I would actually give that a 5. I think it's delicious.
All right. Let's see what it says. Land of the Free, level 50.
Nice.
That is 250 different beers.
Impressive. I'm assuming that's in like the United States.
Yeah.
Since it's Land of the Free. Yeah.
yeah, in the United States.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that. I mean, that would be awesome to drink like on like a hot summer day, mm-hmm. you know, sip on that outside in the shade or like on the beach or something. Yeah, that'd be good. So I like that a lot.
I mean, it's also good to sip in our recording studio while we talk about murder.
Well, you're not wrong.
And speaking, I never am.
You're never right either. You're just not wrong. So anyway, so speaking of that, are we, or what's our case today? I can't talk.
Today we are going to be talking about the murders of Dr. Martin and Emmeline Payne.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, I've never heard of it. She's looking at me like, have you heard of it? And I'm like, no.
No, I actually was not going to ask you this time because this occurred in 1969. So
you're like, I know damn well you don't know about
this. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I wasn't expecting you to have heard of it.
So. Fair enough. Okay. I'm ready. Let's do it.
All right, let's get started. Dr. Martin and Emmeline Payne were obviously married. We figured that out by now because it's taken me 3 times to get their names right.
So it was like Martin, his first name?
Yeah.
Oh, he's got 2 last names. Nice. I like it.
Yes. He's Martin Payne. She is Emmeline Payne.
Like, I know Martin is or can be a first name, like Martin Short, right? But it's also a last Scorsese. Name, like Steve Martin. So
true.
Yes. Martin Scorsese. Very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. But I mean, it kind of sounds Martin Payne. I guess it works. I don't know.
Well, that was his name.
But when you said Dr. Martin, I just thought his last name was Martin.
Oh, I see. Yeah. So. Well, no, he's a doctor. And his last name is Payne.
Yep. I'm on board now. Sorry, guys. That's our tangent. Okay. Let's do it.
So they were originally from Las Vegas, Nevada. But in the summer of 1965, they moved to Jackson Hole, Wyoming. They actually lived pretty close to the Teton National Forest in a pretty nice, beautiful, like, A-framed home. I think they had, like, something like 40 acres, and they were right on the edge, only about 8 miles from the national park.
Oh, that's cool.
They did have, like, neighbors, but, you know, you had to walk through the woods to get to their neighbor's house.
Yeah, they were a little farther apart. Yeah.
Well, because they had 40 acres. Their neighbors only had like 10 acres.
Yeah. And before we get too far into this, I have to ask, and I'm hoping you know the answer. So does the Grand Tetons really mean like the Big Boob Mountains or something? Like, I heard that once. I don't know if that's, I thought Tetons, I don't know. That could be a lie. I don't know.
I think that's a lie. I think it has to do with the Indians who lived in the area. The Teton Range stands as a monument to the people who fought to protect it. The mountains of the imagination. Oh, these are the mountains of the imagination. Mountains that led to the creation of Grand Teton National Park. It doesn't really say what it means, does it?
Okay, so I don't actually think I was that far off. Because whenever it's French, and how the Tetons got their name, Wyoming Magazine. I didn't read the whole thing, but it says Les Trois, I think it's Les Trois Tetons.
Meaning big breath in French.
Yeah. Or if I put Les Trois Tetons into Google Translate, it gives me the 3 nipples. So I think it is like the Boob Mountain. I don't know.
Well,
according to
the History Channel, the first Anglo-American to see the Teton Peaks was believed to be John Coulter, and he kind of gave it the name. But yes, it's French for big breasts.
So I wasn't that far off. Okay, I'd heard it, but I didn't know if it was true. So there you have it.
So we're going...
The Big Breast Mountains.
Yes, we're going to the Big Boob. The Big Boob of Wyoming.
All right, sorry.
Interesting facts. So anyway, the couple had moved to Jackson Hole in 1965, and eventually their 25-year-old son came to live with them as well. His name was Russell. Dr. Payne was a well-liked orthopedic surgeon. He was actually like the first one in Las Vegas, the first orthopedic surgeon in Las Vegas.
Okay.
Before he moved to Wyoming, obviously. And at one point, he was the chief of staff at one of the local Las Vegas medical centers in that area. So there's some discussion as to whether the couple was nice or not.
Oh, okay.
Depending on who is remembering them.
Fair enough.
But for the most part, it seems that Dr. Payne was well-liked, and he was kind of known for his sense of humor.
Okay. So he may have had some, like, he may have had some squabbles with a few people, but all in all, it seems like he was pretty well-liked.
Yes, question mark.
Okay, fair enough.
So there are two different sources of people remembering these murders. One is a man named Mike Marks, who was 12 years old at the time of the murders, but he was that neighbor that lived next door to the Paynes. And he remembers them very fondly. The other, and we'll get into those details in a minute. The other person that remembers the couple is the defense lawyer.
Okay.
Who knew them pretty well when they lived in Las Vegas. And his side of the story is a little bit different than the boys.
Fair enough.
So, but like I said, Mark was 12 at the time of the Payne murders. But he remembers the couple as being his parents' closest friends. They would, like, walk through the woods and have coffee and with each other and dinner with each other. They were just pretty close. The two families were. And he remembers Martin being really well educated. Obviously, he's a doctor. But he says he remembers that Martin had a lot of other interests outside of medicine, and that Martin would try to go out of his way to kind of include Mark into him and his dad's conversations because he was 12 and wanted to be.
No, that's cool though. You know. Yeah.
He also remembers that Emmeline was a little bit more reserved than Martin, and that he figured out pretty quickly she was from the East Coast because her accent was still there a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And I did look. She was actually born in Maryland. So,
oh, okay.
So she was from the East Coast. She was also well-known in the community. When they lived in Las Vegas, she was actually a journalist. And when they moved to Wyoming, she kind of became like a correspondent for the local newspaper in the area. And both of them were trained pilots.
Really? Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. Martin was 53 and Emmeline was 50 when they died. We're going to go talk about Russell here for a minute. This is their 25-year-old son. He had graduated college, but he didn't really have a lot of direction in life, apparently, which is why he came to live with his parents in Jackson Hole in 1969. Apparently, he didn't really like Wyoming. A little bit different than the Las Vegas lifestyle he was used to.
I can imagine so. Yeah, you know? yeah, for sure.
But he was an only child, and according to the neighbors, he was spoiled because he was an only child. Like, he drove a Corvette.
Yeah, it's kid of a doctor, you know. Yeah, I could see that.
Mark remembers his dad going to see Russell, and Russell wanting brown shoe polish to cover up his bald spot because he was kind of like vain and things like this.
I guess this is pre-Rogaine and all that, so that makes sense,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah. And they also remember that Russell had a pretty serious alcohol problem. So
That might explain the whole, like, you know, I like partying in Vegas, yeah, like, you know, and then not going to do anything after I get out of college kind of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Mark also remembers when Russell came to live with, oh, I said the Martins, I did what you did, the Paynes. I actually typed the Martins in my notes.
The Paynes.
It's Paynes, but yeah, I typed the Martins. Yeah. And he remembers that if the couple did have any, like, marital issues or things like that, they would have been surrounded around their son. Everything else seemed to be good for them. But he was...
He was kind of the fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah. He was causing some issues. And he also remembers that his 19-year-old sister hated Russell. She thought he was an asshole.
So that's...
The neighbor.
The neighbor. Mark, right?
Yes.
Correct. Yes. Okay.
His sister did not like Russell, but he, being 12, thought that Russell was pretty cool because, I mean, he drove a Corvette. Apparently, he had a pretty good-sized collection of, like, exotic, cool weapons that he would let Mark use and things like that. And, of course, he listened to Bob Dylan, so he was like, this little 12-year-old boy is like, yes, my hero, right?
Yeah, I don't ever, it's hard for me to imagine a time when listening to Bob Dylan was just really awesome, but I'm sure it existed, but.
1969.
I guess so.
In July of 1969, Martin was a no-show at his hospital, which was really not like him at all. So, of course, the police went to the Paynes' home that day to make sure that they were okay. And when they got there, they were met by Russell, who told the authorities that his parents had gone into the Big Boob National Park.
Big Boob National Park.
The night before, and that the couple had not yet returned. Which, I mean, doesn't sound that odd, right? They live right there, 8 minutes away. They might have wanted to go.
Go for a hike or something, yeah. I mean, I almost feel like if you live that close to, like, that area, you almost have to go for a hike, at least every so often.
I agree. What was weird was that same night, Russell was arrested for a DUI. And the couple's car was found near the town dump, abandoned. But when they looked inside the car, there was evidence of blood in the car. So it was quickly determined that the couple must have been murdered and that it was likely Russell who killed them. But they had no bodies at this point.
Right.
So, obviously, they start a search for the couple, and police want to keep Russell in custody until his parents' bodies are found, because they don't want him, like, escaping back to Las Vegas or whatever. So, they actually made his bond for his DUI $10,000, which was really high for the time.
Well, and if his parents aren't there to post the bond money, who's going to do it?
Right. So they're hoping that because the bond money is so high, he'll still be waiting for it when the bodies are discovered.
Yeah.
That's kind of their, you know, hope at the time. All right. I think we should try our next cider.
Okay. You want to try our next one?
I do.
All right. So what do we got up next?
We've got the Farmstead Kelly Street Cider. Which won a good food award in 2021. And it says, all the flavors of the East Jackson neighborhood come together in this delectable cider made from sweet and crab apples harvested from the heart of the town that used to be Davy Jackson's favorite watering hole. They range from early ripening transparent varieties to cold, hardy, bitter crab apples and everything in between. Every sip of this cider also helps keep our wildlife safe. The more we harvest from this area, the more we reduce animal conflicts with dogs, cars, and humans.
That's cool. I really like that whole, what they're trying to do, you know?
I do too. I think it's really cool. And it is also 7.5% ABV.
All right. So I'm going to pop it and I'm going to start pouring. Ready? This to avoid spillage. Here we go. And...
Ooh, frosty.
That worked way better that time, yeah. That was a little scurred.
Well, this one's a little darker than the other one.
It is a little darker. So you said they used crab apples and what?
They have a variety of different types of apples in there. So everything from early ripening transparent varieties to the cold, hardy, bitter crab apples and everything in between. So it's
okay.
Like a mixture.
Very cool. All right. Well, let's give it a try.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, this one has a little bit of a bolder flavor.
It reminds me of Christmas.
Yeah, I can see where you're getting that from. I wouldn't go so far to call it cinnamony, but it definitely has that, like, yeah.
I bet it's the crab apple.
It could be.
The bitter balancing with the sweet.
Yeah, that's really good, though.
I think I'm going to give that one a 5, too.
Nice. Yeah, these are all really good. I still think I like the first one a little bit better, but this has a great flavor.
All right, no badges that time.
No badge for you.
No badges for me. Okay. So, we will go back to the murderers.
So, they set his bail really high, hoping that he would still be in jail.
When they found the bodies, yep. Right. Now, we're going to go back to Mark for a minute. He actually remembers that the night before the couple was discovered missing, Martin and Russell had come over to his house to have coffee, and that Mark and Russell had made plans to go into town together the next morning. He does remember, Mark remembers watching the two walk back through the woods to their house and having, as a 12-year-old, this thought go through his head that it was probably the last time he was going to see Martin alive.
That's weird. Yeah, why? Was it an ominous feel? Or?
Yeah, he doesn't know, but...
Yeah, that's just kind of odd.
Yeah, he very distinctly remembers them walking off going, that's probably the last time...
That's strange, yeah.
Well, and these murders defined his kind of his life. I didn't go into a lot about him, obviously, but he didn't realize at the time... how much of an impact the murders had on him, but like it shaped his entire adulthood. He went and became a police officer. He's been a NCIS investigator and things like that.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
But yeah, a little odd that that's the last thought he has as the two are walking away.
And he's like 12, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And he's 12 years old.
Yeah.
So he goes to the house the next morning, Mark does, and he remembers that Russell acted completely normal, like nothing was wrong. They went into town, they ran their errands. But later that night, Russell showed up again at his parents' house at the back door, banging on the door, and he was drunk and soaking wet, asking his mother if she had seen his parents because they had gone into the Grand Tetons and hadn't returned.
Okay.
Mark's mother basically said, well, if that's the case, just go home. They probably...
Sleep it off, buddy. Yeah.
But as soon as he left, she closed the door, looked at Mark, and said he's done something to them. Like, she knew.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a... Wow, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
He must have been giving off some, like, weird vibes. That's all I can figure.
Cause... From what I understand, Mark's family did not like Russell.
Doesn't sound like most people liked him.
They felt like he was taking advantage of his parents, and they didn't like to have him over for the coffee and the dinner, but because it was their best friend's son, they had him come over.
You got to be, well, especially back then, you were very polite and accommodating, and okay.
Exactly. So remember I said earlier that Russell had asked Mark's dad for shoe polish to cover his bald spot?
Yeah.
He had actually requested to see Mark's dad in prison. So he'd already been arrested at this point. And Mark's dad went to go visit him. And that's when he asked for the shoe polish because he knew he was going to like be in the news and he was being all.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Mark's dad basically said, I came here because you requested it, but stay away from me. Stay away from my family.
Oh, wow.
I don't want to have anything to do
so
with
he
you.
Believed from the beginning that he was involved.
Yeah. And he basically... I probably will mix up words here, but he apparently at one point looked at Russell and said, if you ever get out and show up around my house, I'll put you further down in the ground than you put your parents down.
Oh, shit. Okay. Like, yeah.
They didn't like him very much.
It doesn't sound like it.
We talked about the Grand Tetons. I have little notes in here. because of it, but we already kind of covered those with the whole big boob thing, so.
Oh, so you had that in there.
I didn't have the big boob, but I did have that they have like 200 miles of hiking trails, and it's known for its wildlife and lakes, so it wasn't completely out of the idea that they would have gone on a hike, like you said, or things like that. So
yeah,
his story could have been true.
Yeah.
Alas, Russell hired a lawyer from Nevada. And if we have any Nevada listeners, they probably have heard of this lawyer. His name is Harry Reid, and he later became a very famous senator from Nevada.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, and he has actually written a book of his memoirs, and one of the things he writes about is defending this guy.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And he says that it's probably the most bizarre case he's ever covered in his entire time of law. I couldn't really quite figure out why it was bizarre, but he said it was. So at first, when I was reading about how Russell went back to Las Vegas, they made it sound like Harry kind of took him back there to work on his defense because he didn't want Russell to get stuck in Wyoming because he didn't think he'd get a fair trial in Wyoming because he was a stranger.
So he's trying to get him tried for a Wyoming murder in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Interesting.
He actually helped Russell escape from Wyoming.
What?
Yeah. And he actually, there's an interview that he does in 2020 where he talks about this case.
Yeah.
And that's when he calls it the most bizarre. And he's the one that doesn't describe the couple very well. He says he remembers that Martin was pretty odd. And like one of the examples he gives is that his welcome mat didn't say welcome. It said stay away.
Interesting. Okay.
And he also went on to say that the couple didn't really have a whole lot of empathy, and they weren't very friendly, and that they didn't really care for their friends that they considered friends or their own son.
So I'm assuming he's saying that he knew them prior to all of this, like when they lived in Vegas or something.
Yes, he knew them when they lived in Vegas, and it was actually one of Russell's friends reached out to Harry and said, hey, I heard Russell may be in some trouble in Wyoming. You may want to go over there and check it out. And that's the only reason Harry even went
to Wyoming.
Yeah. Mm. So, yeah, he kind of helped him escape to Las Vegas.
And then got elected as a senator. Impressive.
Well, and I don't know that what he did was actually illegal, but because he told the police knew that Harry had bought two commercial plane tickets to Las Vegas and that the plan was for him and Russell to go back to Las Vegas to work on the defense. So they arrived at the airport to stop Russell from leaving. Russell wasn't there. So Reid had tricked them.
Oh, and put him in a car or something?
Put him in a car and then had him flown on a private jet back to Las Vegas.
Sneaky. Well, yeah, but I mean, if he hasn't been officially charged with a crime.
Yeah.
And there's, I mean, I'm assuming they would have had to have gotten some sort of like order from a judge to stop him from leaving
the state.
Right. Because at this point, all they have him on is DWI, at least.
Right.
For the moment.
That's
so,
my understanding, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, and if they don't catch him before he's gone, there's nothing they can really do about it, I guess, so.
Not really. Now, of course, they are investigating, and I had mentioned earlier that Russell had a pretty significant alcohol problem. Well, his dad, being a doctor, had prescribed his son Diener? Yeah, which I tried to look it up. It doesn't sound like it's a drug that's used very often anymore, but it was pretty new back then. But I've also heard it referred to as, like, it's exactly like Quaaludes. So,
doesn't sound like something you'd want to give to somebody who's a big drinker.
Well, they were, so everything that I have seen about the drug now says that they were trying to use it as a drug for schizophrenia or whatever.
Okay.
I think they've come to find out it doesn't really work. It's not a commonly used prescription anymore. But his father, I think it had come out like that year. It was pretty new. So his father was giving it to him because he was under the impression that it would suppress his appetite for alcohol.
Oh, okay.
Well, it didn't. And what they didn't know at the time was that this drug was actually altering Russell's brain chemistry.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Russell is drinking a fifth of vodka a day, taking this medication, and some sources say taking Quaaludes separately. I don't know if they were referring to the Diener or...
Yeah, yeah.
But regardless, a combination of these things actually caused Russell to have temporal lobe epilepsy.
Interesting.
And this caused him to become violent and would make him forget what he had done. So he didn't remember murdering his parents.
At least it was his defense anyway, right?
That was his defense. And Reed does say that, like, they were going to try the insanity defense, but he had been found competent to stand trial, so he couldn't do that. So it was actually Reed that did all of this medical research to try to figure out. And they have proof of it. And he says he never for a minute thought that Mark was, not Mark, that was the neighbor, that Russell was innocent.
So he thought he did it. He just didn't think that he was responsible for his actions.
Well,
because
his job as a defense lawyer is to find
right,
him.
Yeah.
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 So, and that's exactly what he says. My job was to defend him.
Yeah, well, it is. That is his job.
And he did it. He did a pretty damn good job of it. I will say that. So it took about 2 or 3 weeks to find the bodies. And when they were found, they were actually discovered by a father and son who were on like a fishing trip, dad and son
weekend kind of thing. Yeah, yeah.
But the father happened to be an undertaker. So he smelled the bodies and knew exactly what it was he was smelling. Was able to go right to where the bodies were.
Oh, so if it wasn't for that, they may not have been found right. For longer.
They were, but he is so familiar with the smell of...
That's kind of a crazy coincidence, yeah, honestly. Right? Yeah, yeah.
So they had been found near a dump off of Mosquito Creek Road. Of course, an autopsy was performed, and it was determined that both Martin and Emmeline had been shot in the head and severely beaten. The police were able to piece together that Martin had been shot while he was sitting in his chair reading, and that Emmeline had actually been asleep. And then after they were shot, Russell had attacked them with an axe.
Oh, fuck. So he shot him, and then... So did he not kill him when he shot him, or...?
They were shot... I'm pretty sure that... They didn't need the axe attack.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I think that's where Reed is trying to point out that maybe there is some truth to what the drug was doing to his brain, because it kind of sounded like he was at pretty close range when he shot him.
Yeah.
But he thought that he needed to continue on. And then on top of that, during the autopsy, it was determined that Martin had severe sclerosis, which is the hardening of body tissue, and that because of that, he probably actually died from a heart attack, like being scared once he was shot, you know.
Now, did the autopsy say that, or did the defense lawyer say that?
The autopsy.
Okay, so the autopsy confirmed that he basically scared his dad to death. And that the gunshot and the axe attack isn't what killed him, or what?
They said it's probable that he would have had a heart attack because of the amount of sclerosis in his body. That it's just an additional layer, right?
So technically, they could say that he's only killed one person. Is that?
No,
is
their
that what
defense,
I'm understanding
no,
here?
The defense isn't using that at all. It's just an extra information.
Oh, okay.
That he went really overboard with his dad because his dad could have.
Gotcha.
Harry did destroy the prosecution's case with all of this information. To the point where he was only charged with manslaughter and only received 20 years for his crimes.
Well, I mean, at least he was still found guilty. I mean,
He only served 6 of those 20 years.
Really?
And wow. He got out on good behavior.
Really? 6 yeah. out of 20? Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it is kind of, I mean, I'm not defending his actions in any way, shape, or form, but it is pretty bad when the medication your dad prescribes you is what, if that's all true, what right. sent him over the edge and caused all of it. I don't know. I mean, if you are taking drugs and get drunk and do something, I don't think that's a defense personally.
Right.
But if it's prescribed to you and it's the side effect, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Still, though, I am surprised he only served 6 out of 20 for a double murder. That's that's pretty wow.
So let's try our last drink up there, buddy. Let's try our last one so I can...
So finish it out?
Yeah, so I can tie in a nice little bow. So the last one we're doing is The Bitter Local. And I have to find it. Okay. The crab apples for our special release Bitter Local Cider first rooted in these soils decades ago. They have seen hard winters and frosty summers. They have been sunburned and bruised, yet they thrive in this mountain climate. Bitter and sweet. Bitter and sweet. And sharp. Time and aging for several months in an oak barrel help the over 150 apple locals get along inside one bottle.
I didn't know they used crab apples.
I only did because of the fruit thing that I have downstairs. The fruit press.
Mm-hmm.
Because the crab apples are suggested to use for cider.
Interesting. Yeah, I would not have known that. It looks like they, this one actually has some fruit, maybe like peel in it. Like you can see some of the peel that they use, it looks like.
Okay, let me find it on here. Bitter Local. Oh, and it is also 7.5.
Okay. Well, cheers.
Right, cheers. Oh, I like that one too.
I do too. It's different. It's almost like how I would almost like think of like a dry wine kind of.
Well, they do describe it as dry. Okay. So that's, yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. It's got a nice flavor.
I'm going to give that one a 5 too.
Yeah, I'm with it. It's really good.
I think what I like, we said this early on, but they don't add any sugar, which I think is what makes it. Like when you think of a cider, a lot of people think of like Ace Pear Cider or Ace Apple Cider. It's super, super, super sweet.
Yeah, no, this tastes fresh to me.
Yeah, it's natural.
Yeah, it has that very like it almost feels like it went straight from like the orchard to the bottle kind of thing. Yeah. Like it has a very all of them have a very crisp, fresh feel to it. I absolutely love it.
When they look more like. Like apple cider you would drink at Christmas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? And spike with whiskey, except you don't.
Yeah, I absolutely love these guys.
Yeah, they're awesome. I highly, highly, highly recommend, and they have a bunch of other
Definitely. If you're in that flavors, area,
yeah.
Or if you can get it, I don't know what their kind of distribution area is, but if you can get it, pick some up. It's really good.
Yeah. And I think you can, like, if you want to go check it out, you have to make appointments with them. But you can go, if you're in the area and want to go, like, check them out, you can make an appointment.
Well, they probably gotta clear the bears out for you to come in.
I mean, that's true.
They're like, it's like when you go to the beach and it's like, are there sharks in the water today? You know, they're like, okay, if we have no bears in the orchard, you can come.
So. I mean, that's true. But yeah, so the cidery is open by appointment. But you can go onto their website. They have cider in bottles a whole lot more than what we've talked about. And they have cider on tap. So.
Oh, that's kind of cool. They got some draft cider.
Yeah, I love it. So like I said, Russell only spent 6 years in prison. He was in prison in Wyoming at the state penitentiary in Rawlins, which is actually about 4.5 hours from Jackson Hole.
You got this.
But this is also the prison that was home to Butch Cassidy.
Oh, interesting.
The prison has been moved like 3 times. So obviously he wasn't in the same one. Oh, no, I take that back. Because he went to prison in 69, probably 70. So yeah, he would have been in the original one. The first time it was moved was in 1981.
Oh, cool.
And now it's current. It was moved again in 2001 to its current location. But he was released after those 6 years. Reed had gone and visited him a few times in prison and said that he was a model prisoner and had apparently like taken up bodybuilding and was super buff now.
Feeling all swole in prison.
After his release, he did move back to Las Vegas and he did get his parents' inheritance.
Really? I'm surprised. Because
he wasn't charged with murder.
Oh.
Because they switched it to manslaughter.
Interesting.
He got his parents' inheritance.
No shit.
Yeah. Now, he has since passed away, but in the interview in 2020 with Harry Reid, he says after he got out of prison, he lived, you know, he was a model citizen. He didn't have any other issues with the law, lived out his life as a good person, but never, ever would he admit to the murder of his parents.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, but okay, yeah, because he was found guilty of manslaughter. So he did not have to. Okay, so it's not like he took a plea deal or anything. So yeah, I guess he wouldn't have to admit it then. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. They, because of all of the medical information about the Diener that Harry found, they only charged him with.
Yeah.
And I want to say they charged him with involuntary manslaughter, which is even, you know.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's weird.
So.
Yeah, that's a crazy case. I've never heard that. That's, it's interesting, that's a crazy case. Yeah, for sure.
It's really interesting. And, you know, I wish there was more information. I've been saying that a lot lately, I feel like. But it is an older case, and there are much more famous Wyoming cases that I didn't want to do. Like, I did not want to do the murder of Matthew Shepard. So this was a
fair enough.
A little different, and
well, I kind of like covering some of the ones that are a little less known and things yes. like that. But yeah, I will say, drugs are kind of crazy. I mean, whenever something new comes out, you never know what kind of side effects it can have. And I mean, they always put on there, "Don't drink," you know, "Don't drink alcohol with it" or whatever.
Well, but did they in the 60s?
You know, that's a good question. I don't know. Yeah, they may not have.
I mean, especially if it was brand new. I want to say it came out, it was maybe 10 years old. I said a year earlier, but I think it was like 10 years old. But they hadn't obviously had any studies really probably of those side effects yet.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it takes time to figure that out.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and I doubt they had the... You know, now they have to go through such a process and all that. They have to build a lot of that data before they can even release the drug in most cases. And even then, they'll still find stuff later.
Yeah, they find stuff years later.
Yeah.
And I'm sure his father wouldn't have given it to him if he thought it was changing his brain chemistry.
Yeah.
You know, and would ultimately lead to his own death.
Yeah, right. Well, and but again, you know, like I don't, what he did was wrong. I don't, you know, I don't want to come on here every time and make it sound like we think that everybody's, you know, innocent or it's not their fault at all. Because I mean,
oh no, I definitely think this is his fault.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if he wasn't drinking so much, his dad wouldn't have felt the need to.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to it. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I hope we don't ever give that impression. I know, like, we've had a couple where, like, mental illness came up. And, you know, obviously, I get passionate about those. And but ultimately, you know, people are responsible for their actions. So,
and you're responsible for trying to help yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, if you know you have
You got to take care of yourself. You know? So, but yeah, no, that was definitely an interesting one. So I kind of like that one. I've never heard that. So,
well, and there is a really cool article you can go read by Mark if you want to, The Neighbor. It's like a 2-part story that they put out in Wyoming, like 49 years after the murders. Actually, I think what they did is put out the story, remembering it, and then Mark contacted them and said, "Let me tell you what I know," and they put out 2 more pieces of his story.
Oh, okay.
So there's a lot more information that he talks about, and like he talks about seeing Russell walk through the woods with a shovel, and he didn't think anything of it at the time, but he could have been walking out to try to bury his parents or whatever. Yeah.
Although, didn't he just, like, throw him in a dump?
He did. Yeah. But they were able to start the search based on the fact that Mark had seen Russell walk a certain direction. So they used that information. But it's really interesting to hear him talk about it as an adult. But you can tell he still remembers it as a 12-year-old.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? But, yeah, it was very interesting article. And then, of course, like I said earlier, Harry Reid has written a book.
And then there's a couple 2020 episodes on it, it sounds like.
2020 episodes.
Was it not 2020?
No.
I thought somebody got... Who got... Oh, wait. Didn't he get interviewed? Or was it just... I don't know.
It was Harry Reid got interviewed.
Oh, okay.
So in 2020.
In 2020. Yes. Oh, I thought it was like... I thought it was the show 2020.
No, in the year 2020.
Okay.
Harry Reid was interviewed. Like, he was retiring... He was interviewed and he talks about this case.
Gotcha. Yeah, and I totally messed that up. Whoops.
And how it affected him as well. And it.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
But apparently he was a real sharp dude that just blew the prosecution's case out of the water and got his defendant basically 6 years.
Damn. Yeah, that's pretty good. So, excellent. Well, we want to thank you all for joining us yet again.
Yeah.
As always, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Insta.
Twitter, we don't really do so much with, but...
Email us.
info@bloodandbarrels.com. You can reach out to us if you have any information or anything like that.
Case suggestions, merch suggestions, any of those good things. And... Shit, I was going to say something, and then you distracted me with your clicking.
Oh, my bad.
Oh, yeah. So, next week, you'll be hearing Mike's beautiful voice.
That's the plan. I got to get my case researched.
So. And it'll be a longer episode.
Yeah, that'll be a much bigger one. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So, all of y'all just mentally put in the airways right now, Mike, go research. Mike, go research.
Exactly. yeah, I'll do that for sure. And obviously, we want to give one last shout out to Katrina Wepler for joining the Patreon Blood and Barrels family. So thank you again to her.
All of our Patreons.
Yeah, thank you to all of them. We love our family. So if you want to join, please do. And that being said, I think we're going to get out of here. We love you guys, and we will check you next time.
We love you all.
Laters. Thank you for joining us here at Blood and Barrels. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Blood and Barrels. You can also follow us on Twitter at Blood Barrels Pod.
Follow us on all the things.
You can also listen to Blood and Barrels on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcast, Stitcher, or most anywhere where you enjoy your podcast.
If you enjoy listening, please head over to Apple Podcast and rate, review, and subscribe. For more information about the show, you can check us out at bloodandbarrels.com.
If you want to help support the show and become a part of the Blood and Barrels family, you can join us on Patreon and get access to additional content. Thank you, and we'll see you next time.